Pride of Detroit, PODcast, back at you here. Guys, this is March. This is March, and Ryan Matthews, back is the motherfucking rock guy, at Ryan underscore POD, has one thing on his mind when I say the words, this is March. What are you thinking about when I say this is March, Ryan?
It's time to play Fortnite.
Yeah, exactly. So the Fortnite bug has stung the entire Pride of Detroit Slack, prideofdetroit.com, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter. Even Jeremy Reisman, the fearless leader at Detroit Online, he's playing, because of the new laptop we got him for Christmas, he's playing, not Christmas, he doesn't celebrate that.
Close enough.
For the holiday, close enough, the holidays. He got him for the holidays. He's even playing Fortnite, and once I am done with my master's thesis, I will probably download it and play too.
Is that why you went in a different order this time? Is just because I'm a different person now? I'm unrecognizable from the person before?
I mean, you're playing a game that's not called Modern Warfare 3.
It's not as good either.
Jesus Christ.
Wow, what a heel turn.
That's some strong heat. Strong, strong heat. All right, but we are here to talk about the Detroit Lions. As much as I've been watching a lot of college basketball, it's time to step back and look at the transactions, which apparently people think are interesting enough to talk about. So, and I mean, this year at least, there is some interesting stuff to talk about, although it's interest in a way that has made me very mad. Starting right off the top, free agency has been, describe this. I haven't liked it. It's no good. I don't like this. I don't like what's happening.
Do
you want to just take it there, Jeremy?
Because I think the main word for it for Detroit Lions fan is probably disappointing or impatient. I think
that's the charitable way to put it. Let's talk about who has signed elsewhere, though, just to get the details right out of the way. Signed elsewhere already. So, I mean, this isn't too much of the big blow, but signed elsewhere. You've seen DJ Hayden sign elsewhere. Fine, whatever. Haloti Ngata has signed with the Eagles. Tahir Whitehead has signed with the Raiders. So right there, that's one of the linebackers you were kind of hoping for. Although I think we kind of had an outside thought that Whitehead would go elsewhere. Don Carey, safety, has signed with the Jaguars. And then Darren Fells signed for 3 years, $12 million with the Browns, which wouldn't be so big of a deal if it wasn't for the fact that for some godforsaken reason, the Lions went, and I'm sorry, I'm characterizing it here. I'm supposed to be the host. I'm supposed to be impartial. The Lions went and released Eric Ebron, who apparently, according to reports, they were trying to trade him, couldn't get offers, so they just straight up released him. And that's where we stand right now. There's a long list of guys who have been who have remained unsigned. Travis Swanson, Greg Robinson, could go down the list here on some of the other guys, but those are the two big names I'm seeing right here. You said the word impatient, Jeremy, but I think there's also been some kind of missteps here as well. But I think you can't do anything too much about the guys who want to sign elsewhere if they don't want to stay with the team. But I think the big news is Eric Ebron and the decision to just completely straight up dump him on the street.
Yeah, it was certainly the most notable thing that happened in this past week for the Lions. And kind of the toughest one to explain, really, if we're being honest. I get that the Lions want the cap space. I get that Eric Ebron hasn't been the guy that you've wanted him to be, but the salary cap is so fluid to me in that if the Lions want to go out and get their guys, whether it's a big splash signing or four or five guys that are going to round out the middle of the roster, you can make that happen without that $8.25 million. You really can. And to me, riding out one more year of Ebron, I can come to terms with him not being on the team in 2019. But I don't know if the Lions had a backup plan that fell through with the Darren Fells. Maybe they wanted Darren Fells back and they didn't get him, and they thought that was in the bag. But whatever happened there, I just don't get it. I really just don't get it. It created a big hole on this roster. It created a little bit of cap space, but the Lions haven't really, I mean, they will use that cap space. I'm not going to come out here and say they didn't, you know, they didn't need to because they're not going to spend the money. They will spend the money. But to me, riding out Ebron one more year, $8.25 million, if you look at the contracts around the league, there are tight ends getting $8 million a year. There are tight ends getting about $6.5 million a year that haven't accomplished what Ebron has. So I think we learned that that's about market value for this guy. So you keep him for one more year, you get a compensatory pick next year, and then you move on. I don't get doing it this year at all.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you bring up the Darren Fells thing, and I guess my question is that if the plan was to try to re-sign Darren Fells, why not wait and see if that was in the bag before you completely dump Eric Ebron? Like, he could have been, you know, cut at any point. I don't know. There's probably some, like, small particulars I might not know about. But, Ryan, like, what's your reaction on, let's just stick with Eric Ebron for right now. We'll talk some of those other guys later, or just in general, like, how did the Lions do this right?
It's hard to see them as doing it right at this point. I think initially when the Lions did cut him, I mean, even on our poll that we had on Pride of Detroit, like, did they make the right decision? It was split 50-50, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and again, I think a lot of that is because, and I will probably talk about it when it comes to my turn, but, like, fans just are polarized on him, but. Yeah, go on.
Sure. Yeah, one of the most polarizing players ever since he was drafted. You know, ever since he was drafted, it was just in the cards for Eric Ebron to always be measured up against all of those guys that went after him. But the thing that the Lions are in the most difficult part now, and the reason I kind of bring up that initial poll, you know, people being so split on whether or not the Lions made the right decision, I didn't know whether or not they made the right decision because it felt like a move that I thought could only be determined as being successful or not, or some varying degree of it, until after you saw what the Lions were going to do with that money that they freed up.
Right.
Since then, the Lions have a ginormous hole at tight end. Such a need at tight end that all of a sudden it shoots up like the draft needs, right? Like, this is a position that I thought going into this year, going into, you know, this upcoming season, that the Lions would be relatively set at. You know, they have one more year of Ebron. I'm of the same volition as you too, Jeremy. Like, I was totally at terms with, you know, no Ebron past this next upcoming season. But with that, it seemed like Darren Fells enjoyed his time here and that he wanted to stay here. And then, you know, maybe we can keep on, maybe the Lions can keep on bringing along Michael Roberts. It seemed like tight end was a relatively set position. It was something that the Lions didn't necessarily need to address in the draft. But then how quickly things can change in the offseason when things don't go your way. And it just seems like things have not fallen in the Lions' favor, especially with Fells going to Cleveland. Now you have a roster of tight ends where the total amount of career catches they have is 3.
Yeah.
No bueno.
It's
a position of need, is it not?
Yeah.
The one thing reverberating through it, and one thing I wish I'd wanted to write, but I was, you know, again, master's student here, busy, and talk is infinitely cheaper than sitting down to write words. But what the hell are the Lions doing? Like, what the fuck is this? I'm sorry. That was the only thing going through my head when I saw that, to just suddenly have this opportunity. And, like, fine, okay, maybe you're not a fan of Eric Ebron, and I will gladly come out and say that I believe what we saw at the end of 2017 was the future of this guy sitting here before you, that this was going to be a legitimate weapon for the Detroit Lions. And I just don't understand this logic. I don't understand the logic from the fans either. What? So dropping Eric Ebron, like, what do they expect to happen? Like, that 8 million signed up, that was going to magically transient into some other tight ends like Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham's worth a lot more than 8 million. Like, that was the thing about Eric Ebron. You had a very productive tight end at a price that was probably conducive. Maybe you didn't like the price, but as Jeremy pointed out, a lot of guys are getting that or more for less. And I don't give a shit if you think that Eric Ebron would be the backup on some other roster. He's still clearly the best tight end the Lions have and will have now for, I mean, who knows? Who knows when next one? You better hope Michael Roberts balls out. But I don't know. What like, the fan logic is, like, what? You dump him and you magically get Odell Beckham or Aaron Donald? No, that's not what happens. But just in general too, like, again, like what's the logic here? Like, I don't see it. Like, maybe Jeremy, I think you're right that it was setting up for some other trade to come down the ramp, but like, you've just completely imploded your inside passing game for just no good fucking reason at all. And like, I'm sorry, I'm not one of these people who are like, believe in Bob Quinn, because A, I'm resistant to this whole trust the process bullshit we started years ago with the 76ers and has now infected multiple sports of people saying, oh yeah, we need to just, you know, just trust these GMs. I don't trust them. I don't trust them at all. Not all these guys are fucking geniuses. And I don't think Bob Quinn with two draft classes earned the cachet for me to say, well, trust and see what he can do. I don't trust this move at all. And I don't. And I just want some goddamn answers.
Yeah, it's interesting. Bob Quinn's career as in free agency has kind of been a mixed bag, right? Like, he's hit on a couple big splashes with Marvin Jones. And I think both moves on the offensive line were really good last year as well. But then there's been a whole bunch of other kind of middling guys that haven't made the team or haven't stuck around. So I'm with you that like, Bob Quinn hasn't earned this, we trust him no matter what thing. But at the same time, you kind of have to walk this line being like, well, I certainly don't know everything that's going on. I can't pretend to be a know-it-all here.
No, I'm not saying that's what you are. No. I know. I'm not going to claim to say that. But at the same time, I think like, if you make a move like this, I think some people, like, people are entitled to answers as to why. And more often than not, I think there needs to be a question is, what the hell are you doing if you're right, not going to give us that answer?
And I think a lot of people that were in favor immediately of releasing Ebron and getting that $8.25 million, they thought the Lions were like immediately going to make a splash move. Like, that was a move to create
cap. No, I think most people who were in favor of releasing him just fucking hated Eric Ebron.
Well, there's some of that too, but I think a lot of people were like, oh shit, like, they just released that. They're going for Sue. They're going for Dontari Poe. They're going for Sheldon Richardson. Turns out none of those things are probably going to happen. Obviously, Sheldon Richardson and Poe are gone by this time, but I don't think Sue's coming. I know you want to talk about him a little later. We will, but I think a lot of people got initially a little excited thinking that there was a big move around the corner and have been let down since, because the Lions really haven't done all that much so far in terms of adding people.
Ryan, could they have traded Eric Ebron at all?
I don't know. I mean, clearly they floated it out of the trade deadline. No biters. He had an incredible second half of the season, tried to do it again in the offseason, and apparently there was no interest. And I think that we were probably pretty short-sighted in our evaluation of thinking that Eric Ebron's going to net the Lions like a third-round pick. Like, that was our baseline. It's like, that's what we as a fan base would accept for Eric Ebron in return. When you have to think, look at what happened with the Seahawks. Okay, they traded a second-round pick and Jermaine Kearse to get Sheldon Richardson for 1 year. Okay, because they get him on this one-year deal, and now he's a free agent and he signs with the Vikings. That's essentially the same thing that could have happened with Eric Ebron. Any team could have traded for him. Yeah, you're going to get him for 1 year, but is he worth a third-round pick just for 1 year of his services? And I know maybe you can take the next step and say, well, we're going to negotiate a contract with him. But that just isn't the norm. Like, that isn't the norm in the NFL. So it's surprising, I think, that the Lions couldn't get something that some team wouldn't be willing to say, like we want, like, essentially, like, negotiating rights and the rights to, like, you know, have Ebron for a season. But at the same time, I think it makes a lot of sense. Like, why would any team give up any draft capital or anything of actual worth or value when it, by everything that had been happening since last, what, November, the Lions were kind of out on Ebron?
Yeah, I agree, Ryan. Like, I think a lot of this was the Lions maybe tipping their hand a little too hard, too. And I think that's probably the best case scenario I can come up with, is that the Lions tip their hands a bit too hard to trade Eric Ebron, and everyone called them on that. But I think that also assumes a bit of cunning that a lot of these teams don't really possess. You know what I mean?
But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a mess. But I mean, just in general, too, I don't think the Eric Ebron situation had even come to this, too. I know fans didn't like him, but taking the fans out of the context, like, the idea that Eric Ebron would fall out with the Lions again, even after that end of 2017 outing and with a new coach too, like, I don't know. And it just keeps coming back to this. Well, and I'm going to share a tale with you guys. I'm going to share this to you and hopefully this won't get out too big, but I met a former Lion here in Los Angeles while I was doing some work. He had played for the Detroit Lions before Rod Wood. So this would be with a former, you know, when, you know, kind of with one of the older teams. But he told me that, you know, he talked to me a lot about the idea of winning culture, which is fairly standard as we talk about with the NFL, right? Like about who gets to have a winning culture or whatever. And I kind of challenged him a bit on it, but he made some gestures to me to just indicate that, you know, it's about how certain teams treat their players. And this former Lion, again, like he points to the idea of other teams having certain cultures on the way they treat their players. Now, I mean, obviously we can say winning culture comes of actually winning the games, but a lot of that also comes from how you treat your players in certain regards, even when they're struggling. And like this whole Eric Ebron thing kind of smacks to me of just a culture problem that I don't think has been fixed by any kind of, or may even have been complicated by this Patriot way kind of crap everyone gloms onto and hopes that works. And all I'm going to say is that I just hope this isn't a case of the Lions being assholes about Eric Ebron. Like that's all it comes down to for me.
What gives you that impression? I mean, we see veterans cut all the time early in their contracts. What makes you think this is a culture problem?
Again, because like I'm just saying, like I'm just hoping it's not that, because that was my first instinct when I looked at that, is that you had a guy who had some problems with the team, but played very well for his last year, and I think was probably going to be a potential piece for this team in 2018. And now all of a sudden we've turned around and you when he was cut too, like it wasn't exactly like, you know, if you wanted to cut him at any point, you could have made this here at whatever point you wanted to. Just the timing on it was bad. I didn't like the fact that, you know, they didn't get anything for him it's a mess, man. And I don't know what else to say about it. It's a mess, and just randomly cut him the way they did. And again, with like a year left here to go when like, yeah.
I mean, this points that they were clear. They were ready to move on. They wanted to move on. They were done with Ebron. They were done with his inconsistencies and they wanted the cap room. I think if they could have gotten anything for him, they would have.
It showed an incredible like lack of trust in Ebron's potential for 2018. And going to be the story for it. Yeah, yeah, and exactly.
Ebron gave them a tough time to trust him. They did not. He did not make it easy.
Okay,
for them to
but
trust
again, like that's this what you're describing is from the management side. The players would say that's a bad culture.
Well, and I think a lot of them would say it's a business because that's what happens. You don't play consistently.
When it comes to the Lions have the track record.
I don't think that's true.
No, because they absolutely do, man. We can go through Barry Sanders, Calvin Johnson, and you can say, yeah, but Barry came back. And I even brought that up to this former player, but his argument was, yeah, but they did him like that in the first place. And you can say those were different people and a different time. But again, you start putting this through years and years and years. And I'm not a SOL guy. You know that. But I'm just saying, like, that's something I'm going to keep an eye on as I look at this Eric Ebron.
But this is a false equivalence. I agree that the Lions did Barry and did Calvin wrong. Absolutely. But cutting a guy, that just happens. I don't see how this equates to that at all. This is just normal NFL business. And I know you don't like it, but this is how it works with everyone.
I don't think it is. You're going to have to prove that to me pretty hard, but we're out of time on this one. And we had to work through some technical difficulties that you will not see because of the magic of production. So Jeremy's power is back, as you just heard there. And we are moving on to the rest of the roster. So we will be right back taking this break. PODcast back at it again with the kick looks and every what's that meme? It was a more normie meme. It doesn't matter. Whatever. Let's talk about who real quick. I'm going to give a recap of who has all re-signed with the Lions before we move on to other things. Because I don't think the story is really here with guys who have been re-signed. Don Mule back. Hooray. I think that's our big story, right?
We should have led with that, really.
Yeah, really. What are we doing here? Long snapper watch being 2018 amateurs. was over before it began. Nick Ballore was signed to a one-year deal. Nevin Lawson, Tavon Wilson. I think the Nevin Lawson thing's interesting, but I think I think the fact that he got 2 years, but I mean, he's shown some promise too. And I think, especially, I think we talked about this before with the PI rule change, he's not going to be as much of a,
if they change it,
he won't be as much of a liability, right?
Yeah, a lot of people weren't a big fan of that signing, and he did get a pretty significant pay raise, $9.3 million over 2 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's going to be depth, and the Lions also added a defensive back who we'll talk about in a minute. But,
yeah.
I don't know, Nevin Lawson's always been one of those guys that I feel like he's right there to make a play. He just hasn't learned to start making
we weren't
that
sure
play.
When, yeah, and we weren't sure when Tease Tabor would really come in, and I think we expected Tease to kind of take over for Nevin Lawson, but I think you're right on the depth thing there. Ezekiel Ansah, we talked about him before. He was slapped with the franchise tag. Zach Zenner was re-signed. And now, Jeremy, let's talk about the new signings. So what's the big one you want to start with here?
I mean, the biggest signing has got to be Devon Kennard. 3-year deal, $18.75 million.
One of two linebacker signings. The Lions also signed Christian Jones as well to 2 years, $7.75 million.
Yeah, and they kind of came back to back right there, and it was just like, okay, so this it kind of coming into vision here that the Lions are going to be in a lot of 3-4 looks this year. I think that's what we can learn from both those signings.
Oh Christ! Finally, we're finally switching to the 3-4. Wow, everyone can shut the fuck up and stop sending us those questions.
Yeah, but Devon Kennard, he's a pass rusher. He's really good at run defending. The question really is he going to put his fingers in the ground and be a defensive end, or is he going to be like a true linebacker? And the good news is he can do both. And I don't know. I think this is a guy that's probably going to be a starter. If not, he's going to get you at least 50% of snaps. So this is a significant signing. I think Lions fans can get at least a little bit excited about this because the Lions haven't had a true edge guy on the roster outside of Ansah in really a while. So I'm like a B+ on Devon Kennard right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's especially after Tahir Whitehead bounce down, mm-hmm. like you kind of need that right now. Like we've talked God, how many years now about the linebackers. And when I saw Tahir Whitehead leave town, it was like, oh, great. Here we go. But yeah, Devon Kennard, definitely like that. Ryan, I know you've been wanting to do your bit, and I'm kind of worried you've forgotten about it. So how would you rate the Devon Kennard signing by the Detroit Lions now that I have given you your hint?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like you open up a treasure chest in Fortnite, and I mean, it's not a complete waste of your time. Like, it's not just popping out like a gray, like SMG and some bandages. And I mean, there are no more smoke grenades in the game anymore, thank God. But I mean, you're opening up the chest, and it's something a little bit different. And I think that this is the way that I look at how the Lions are going, like with their linebackers though, because I think we're all at the understanding that the Lions, their first two moves were to get linebackers, the Devon Kennard signing that we're talking about right now, and then going out and getting Christian Jones as well. And those two guys essentially are going to replace Tyre Whitehead and Paul Warlow. Are they better players? Maybe. I don't know. Are they different players? Absolutely. So I think that the move was less. Whereas it seemed like a lot of the defense, the Lions, you know, Nevin Lawson, like we talked about, Tavon Wilson, it was a lot of getting the band back together. But at the linebacker position specifically, they had the opportunity to go get guys who had good seasons, or get a guy like Tyre Whitehead, who probably had his best season of his NFL career last year. They had a chance to get him back, but they decided to go a different route. And I think that's what it was. It was more of a fit move than it was
So what, a green shotgun?
It was a green tack.
Okay.
But to me, there's something exciting and I think telling that the first two moves in free agency under a Matt Patricia era are two linebackers. And this, we're talking about a former linebackers coach, a guy who rejuvenated the career of Kyle Van Noy, who made it a guy who's basically turned around the careers of a bunch of second and tier linebackers in this league that most people haven't heard of and made them significant contributors. Maybe not all pros or Pro Bowls, but have turned them into like very big role players. And so I think it's telling that the Lions went out and got themselves two new linebackers that are probably going to be in a, more of a 3-4 look this year.
Okay. And besides that, I think the big story is, okay, so was there any, I'm sorry, kind of getting distracted here. Were there any other signings you guys want to talk about before we jump into the next topic I've got here? I want to talk a little bit about LeGarrette Blount and that just, man, what a rotating cast of characters. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, listeners of the podcast will remember me beating the drum pretty hard for LeGarrette Blount last year. And
for
some reason, the wind's a little bit out of my sails this year. Maybe it's because I got enamored with the idea of a 35-year-old Frank Gore somehow rejuvenating this Lions running game. But I don't know. Blount had a great year last year. I don't want to even say a good year. I think he had about 800 yards, 4.4 yards per carry. He's worth it. He's worth the signing just for whatever reason. Like, I think character is part of the reason why I wanted Frank Gore. The Lions are still presumably going to draft a running back, and having Frank Gore as their mentor got really exciting to me. Having LeGarrette Blount as that mentor, not really as exciting to me, because this guy, I know we overdo the Oregon punch a little bit, but he's also gotten in a couple fights in the NFL with his own team. And, you know, he walked off the field that one time with the Patriots early. And there are some character concerns there, but he's a talented back and he fits exactly what the Lions are looking for. So
I just want to point out that you led by saying that you hoped that 35-year-old Frank Gore would inject life into this running game. Like that's the point where we're at.
But we're talking about Frank Gore. He's rushed for over 800 yards in 12 straight seasons. 12. That's incredible. And maybe he wasn't as effective with the Colts, but he was still rushing for like 3.7, 3.8 yards per carry, which is more than the Lions have had in the Colts offensive line. It's probably worse than the Lions offensive line.
Cool. We're still talking about this. Like this, though. It's like we need this, you know, hoary veteran to save this drowning.
Well, that's what the Lions were looking for, right? I mean,
I know.
This is a one-year deal. LeGarrette Blount won't be on the team next year.
I'm not bashing on it. Okay, what else do we have here? Deshaun Sheed, I know you talked about the defensive back signing. There it is, Deshaun Sheed, 1 year, $3.5 million. And Kenny Wiggins for the line, which did we talk? I feel like I've mentioned his name before, but I don't remember. Either way.
He's nothing to get excited about. He's going to be a depth guy. Deshaun Sheed. He could actually get some playing time. I'm kind of excited. He's definitely an upgrade over DJ Hayden. So,
yeah, we need to talk though about the whiffs, and I think that's what you wanted to do. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to. We've had some technical difficulties, so I'm trying to push guys along on time here.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about some of the whiffs the Lions have had or perceived whiffs, because I think that's part of the reason why Lions fans are so down right now, is that they've been linked to a couple guys, but weren't able to close the deal. So there was Richard Sherman right off the bat. It sounds like the Lions were actually in it there, but they weren't willing to give Sherman the incentive-laden deal that he asked for, which is weird because it wasn't really a good deal that he's his own agent. So he didn't really bargain a very good deal for himself, but I guess it's still too much for the Lions.
I think it sounds like, though, going to the 49ers is a lot about kind of revenge against the Seahawks.
That's
the
idea true. That
he wants to play them two times a year and beat them. So, yeah.
And then the Lions were also reportedly very interested in Malcolm Butler. And to be clear, this is all reports just coming from rumors, maybe from agents. Maybe agents are pushing, oh, yeah, the Lions are really in on this. You better close a deal with me. So take it all with a grain of salt, but apparently whiffed on Malcolm Butler, Haloti Ngata. Let's talk about Haloti Ngata for a second, because according to several reports now, the Lions gave him an identical deal that the Eagles gave him. And apparently Nada did not want to play back with the Lions. And there are kind of mixed reports there of what the reason is. Part of it, obviously, championship team has a lot of excitement to it. Maybe you want to finish your career with a Super Bowl run. And then there's also the fact that he told, or I think his agent maybe put this out, basically saying he didn't want a two gap in Detroit, which is essentially, again, a very big sign that the Lions are going to play a lot of 3-4. He didn't want to change the style of play that he had been playing under Terrell Austin. And so going over to Jim Schwartz, kind of similar offense or similar defenses. I get why it's frustrating from a Lions standpoint, seeing all this happen, seeing the Lions whiff on all these guys. It probably happens with a lot of teams that you don't really see, but yeah, I mean, it's frustrating to see them not only go after some guys, but some of these big names, and then not only miss out on them, but just like, all right, well, I guess we're not getting a cornerback then, or I guess we're not getting a number two, or we're not getting a nose tackle. I mean, a lot of this stuff is going to happen, but it's just, you miss out on these guys, and then nothing is in its replace. It's there, is in its place. So
I'd be curious to talk more with Haloti Ngata about why he chose the Eagles over the Lions. I mean, obvious to see why from a fan standpoint, but I'm just saying, like, kind of fascinating there. Ryan, what do you think so far about the Lions whiffing on some of these guys? And Baron, I mean, my own take on this is just basically, it's like, I don't think people realize, like, I mean, I'm not going to shrug too hard about the Lions whiffing on some of these guys, because Detroit's just not a destination. But what's your take on some of this?
Well, real quick for the LeGarrette Blount talk, I was like Jeremy, I was all in on the whole Frank Gore experience. I'm not so let down about the LeGarrette Blount signing. Justin Rogers tweeted out short yardage success rate numbers for Gore, Blount, and Murray on third and fourth down. And like Blount was converting like 57% of those situations, whereas Gore was, 11 to 14 in those situations for 79%. And that was where the Lions were dead last year. They were at 27% converting third and fourth in short yardage downs. So like, that's an obvious upgrade. At the same time, like with how well Blount played last year, the Eagles still went out and got Jay Ajayi. So like, this doesn't change their plans moving forward in drafting a running back. So right. I wanted that to be clear, but because they clearly view him as a very situational guy. Like the whiffs though, I was all aboard the Malcolm Butler Express. Like I was fully in on it. Like the CB2 is such an important position. And I know that the Lions have so much more money to, or they had money, and it seemed like the place to invest was going to be that front line, that front four. I mean, it just seemed like it made sense. Like we all saw 2014. We all know what like a great pass rush does for your secondary. It makes even an average secondary look great. Okay. But I was so on board with Malcolm Butler that I did the one thing that I'll never, ever do again. I pre-wrote an article. I was like, yep. Lions are signing Malcolm Butler. It's going to happen. Like as soon as the Texans.
Why'd moved, you do that?
Yeah, I know. Well, the Texans signed Aaron Colvin, and I was like, that was the other team that was interested in Butler. There's one team left now. It's the Lions. It's a done deal. And then all of a sudden he's in Tennessee where they're throwing a Pats party with him and Deion Lewis and Mike Vrabel. So go ahead.
I was going to say, well, let me ask you, they gave him a 5-year, $61 million deal with $30 million guaranteed. You want the Lions signing that contract?
Whatever. Money's money. scared money don't make none. But anyways, let's talk about a guy who maybe got a little bit less money that I think a lot of Lions fans were interested in, but like Josh Sitton, you know, that was another guy I felt like the Lions really swung, maybe not swung and missed on, but like that was an opportunity. Whereas, you know, we talk about Kenny Wiggins, who they signed. Whoop-de-doo, Basil. What does it all mean? Like, who cares about Kenny Wiggins? Josh Sitton goes out and signs a 2-year, $15 million deal with the Dolphins, and that seems like a pretty cheap deal when it was only $8 million of it's guaranteed.
But are Lions just going to throw out that blocking sled with his name on it? They're just going to throw it out? What do you want him to do there? I don't know. I mean, to me, it looks like the Lions aren't pursuing offensive line that aggressively, which is interesting. It certainly
it doesn't look like they're they're being aggressive about any position.
Well, I mean, they certainly were with backup or with veteran running back. They were very aggressive there.
And linebacker too, I suppose. But
yeah. But yeah, it's a little interesting that they didn't go so hard for offensive linemen. Offensive linemen did get paid for what, I mean, for like what Andrew Norwell got. Yeah. I mean, and then there was that center. I can't remember. He got a record deal and he's just kind of okay. I think basically we saw a record breaking guard deal, a record breaking center deal. And it just wasn't a very good tackle market. So we didn't see a ton of deals there, but it was expensive out there for them. And everyone says this draft class is full of guards and centers. So maybe the Lions just are committed to drafting one in the first three rounds.
There's one last domino to fall, though.
What's that?
Is Ndamukong Suh coming back to Detroit?
That's a tease. That's a tease right there. We're going to come back, and hopefully I'm going to goad Ryan into more of his Fortnite analogies, which he's been lacking on. But other than that, we're going to talk next about a boy named Sue.
Well, my daddy left home when I was three, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me. Just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue.
Well, PODcast rolling along here. As I said, we're talking about a boy named Sue, Ndamukong Suh, as it were, and a whole family named Sue while we're at it. But you should know that our good old boy Ndamukong Suh is on the free agent market, and Lions fans have completely forgotten about putting up those billboards with the S and Suh replaced with a dollar sign and everything like that, and is more than willing to let bygones be bygones. They are, I should mention. We don't know about Suh, but they're willing to let bygones be bygones and hope that they can get Ndamukong Suh to come play for this team. That's really all I've got to frame the thing. It's Ndamukong Suh. What do you want? His career in Miami did not go well, but that's the rule about Miami. Not just the football team, but like all things in Miami. Things don't go well in Miami. As it was with Ndamukong Suh's time there. So I mean, just real quick, as I'm digging up some stats here, just Jeremy, first reaction when you hear Ndamukong Suh back to Detroit.
It's not going to happen.
Two, let's give each of you guys three words. Three words when you hear Ndamukong Suh might come back to Detroit.
Not going to happen.
Ryan?
Gold sniper rifle.
Okay, we've clearly got two very different looks on it. So let's set up this. Let's square off this little debate here. Jeremy, you get to lead off.
Well, okay, first of all, it's just not going to happen. He's visited the Saints. He's going to the Titans. The Lions have not shown any interest. That doesn't mean they won't, but there are reports out there that Suh wants as much money as he can get. There are reports out there that he wants $20 million a year. We've learned. We've gone through this, and we've learned. Ndamukong Suh is not worth quarterback money. He just isn't. He's a great player. He can transform a defensive line. He'd even be a great fit in Detroit right now. I won't deny any of that. But he's not the kind of game changer that's worth $20 million a year. The Lions have shown they're taking this free agency in a very frugal manner. Getting Ndamukong Suh is not at all going with that blueprint at all. So as much as I love the guy and I know how much he would improve this team, spending this much money on him is not the right prudent move, even though I pitched the idea a month ago.
I mean, we've always thought of Suh as being the sack machine, right? Like, I mean, when he was with Detroit, he was good. Like one of those, like what, 2014 for like what, 8.5 sacks or something like that. I'm just checking here. Miami, he had 4.5, but granted, at this point in his career, he's getting double teamed no matter where he goes or what he does. But I think you're right. There's definitely a question now of like, there's a lot of other teams willing to look into this, but I think everyone is kind of poking the bear and trying to see about, can we maybe get that for a little less? Can we get a little, you know, it's got a nick on it. That surely it's going to take off. It doesn't have the original sticker. That surely downgrades it from a mint to very good. Ryan, you called this a gold sniper rifle in your Fortnite references. So why don't you explain?
It's so alluring, but at the same time, you know, you're going to pick it up. And if you're picking up a gold sniper, usually it's like towards the end of the match anyways. So it's like you're already inside the circle. The circle's getting so tight. Like, what's the point of having a sniper rifle? So it's like really cool to have, but like, is it even going to be worth picking it up? Because I think when you talk about Ndamukong Suh's time in Miami, objectively, like, was he a good defensive tackle? Absolutely. Like Jeremy said, is he ever going to be worth quarterback money? Absolutely not. That's why the deal didn't work. That's why Sue in Miami didn't work. Like, a guy who plays on the interior of the defensive line will never have that much of an impact on the game to warrant that kind of contract. So that's just kind of where I'm at with Sue. Would it be great to have him in Detroit? Completely agree with Jeremy. He would transform things.
Well, let me get to also this then.
Ruin your salary cap.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, well, granted, they got the $8 million. You got to sit his payoff from Ebron. You got to spend that somewhere. But okay, let me reframe this because I clearly misread your gold sniper rifle as like a good thing. But I would say this though, Ryan, and maybe you can. This is kind of a question to you, not really a debate or even a point I even think about. But you know, what did we talk about for that 2014 team? We talked about the Lions and the pass rush. It was the pass rush putting you up when Stafford wasn't exactly having the greatest year of his career that year, and Sue was a big part of why that pass rush existed.
Yeah, I mean, Sue next to Ansa is, I mean, that's a dream duo, and it would be great to have that again. But
thanks, Ryan. I pitched it to Ryan, but you want to jump in there, so go ahead. No, it's fine.
No, my point's over now. Go ahead and make your.
No,
make
no,
your
you were mid sentence. You were mid sentence.
No, when has that ever stopped you from cutting me off?
the timer. You've got plenty of time, so go on.
Well, here's the thing. I think the Lions can get a run-stuffing guy in Jonathan Hankins for much cheaper, a much better fit in a 3-4 system. And we've talked about this all weekend on the site, in our Slack room, on Twitter. Jonathan Hankins just makes too much sense for the Lions. He's going to be expensive, don't get me wrong. He signed a 3-year, $30 million deal last year, so he's probably going to come right around that $10 million mark. The question is, now that we're in the second wave of free agency, will he come a little bit cheaper? You know, now that teams have less cap space, now that teams have kind of filled their basic needs. I'm all off on Ndamukong Suh, and I'm all in on Jonathan Hankins right now.
We got anything else to talk about on Suh, or are we all just kind of like, yeah, no, we're good?
What are we talking about?
He's a shiny bobble.
Are you playing Fortnite again?
I plead the fifth.
Son of a bitch.
Well, I can't even stop this to turn off the recorder to yell at you because we haven't even gotten 10 minutes in. So we're going to have to figure out something so your ass can like get back here. So what? Okay.
Ryan, are there any other free agents other than Jonathan Hankins moving forward in the second and third wave of free agency that you're keeping your eye on that you want the Lions to look for?
It was Sheldon Richardson, but then he goes and signs a very palatable deal with the Vikings. Like, I mean, what did he end up getting? He ended up getting like a $8 million deal, right?
Right.
Like worth up to $11 million with incentives.
Yeah, that struck me as a, like, listen, I only know I'm going to get a prove it deal. Let me just go where I want to go. Oh, this Vikings defensive line is already amazing and made the NFC Championship. Yeah, let me go there.
Yeah, let me go there and let everybody else help me look incredible and make sure that the Lions don't win the NFC North. Like that sneakily, like very, very sneakily, like that, that move may be even more important than the Cousins move. Like, and let, hold on. Let me tell you why too, because I think that the Vikings, like they, like clearly that their offense, and I know it's going to be different now with Filippo there and, you know, Shermer's moved on, but that offense was so predicated on the run. Like as long as a, you know, a competent quarterback was going to be back there, even Case Keenum, Sam Bradford, any of those guys, you insert Kirk Cousins, like how much better can you like truly get? Like, I don't know how much better Kirk Cousins makes you, but Sheldon Richardson, oh my God. Like if you thought their defensive line was a force before, now you're adding like an all pro caliber player on a prove me deal. On a prove me deal. Like this guy has every reason to ball out.
Didn't we'll he? Am it's I terrifying. Getting this wrong? Didn't he have a prove me deal last time he did this with the Seahawks too?
I thought he played pretty well. He played pretty well with the Seahawks last year.
Yeah. When he wasn't getting suspended.
Okay.
I might even think. Well, anyway, that does bring up the rest of the NFC North, and you mentioned the Vikings, and other than that, like yeah, the Vikings got Kirk Cousins and their quarterbacks have all disgorged across the league. Case Keenum is now with the Broncos. Has Teddy Bridgewater signed anywhere yet?
I forgot where, but yeah. He's all their quarterbacks Jet. Are gone. Yeah, that's right. He's a Jet. Oh, that's right. I think this is time for another Hack and Watch.
This is Hack and Watch time. Let's do it. I'm hitting the button. What we got here for Hack and Watch? So we got Bridgewater to the Jets. What else?
Well, I think that means Hack and Wash. I said Hack and Wash. I think that's probably more appropriate. He's Hack and Washed.
Hack and Washed?
Yes. I think Hackenberg's NFL career is essentially over at this point. Well,
it was the candle burned out long before.
but we didn't even talk about... I mentioned this in Slack. I would love for the Lions to have a top three pick again sometime soon, because look at what the Colts got for the Jets. The Jets clearly panicked when they didn't get Kirk Cousins and they're like, well, we need a quarterback. So we're going to move from 6 to 3 and give up two other picks in the top 50 and give you a second round pick next year.
Insane.
Yeah, no, a lot of people are, I think someone put it this way. I can't remember who, but it's like, it's really trying. It's like a gamble of shit, but people are paying a lot to try to get pissed on. Sam Bradford went to the Cardinals, which I mean, God, RIP Cardinals. I don't know what the hell is happening.
Injured quarterback to another.
Some teams have completely fucking like just completely evaporated. Like we talked about the Seahawks, and they are quintessentially the losers of free agency. Like I don't know. I think the Lions might be considered a loser right now, but not as bad as the Seahawks. Nowhere near as bad as the Seahawks.
No way. The Seahawks were there. If you could map out what an absolute disaster of an offseason would look like, it would be the Seattle Seahawks offseason. They trade Michael Bennett.
Carroll's got to go. I mean, no, he's not going to go. I think he's great. I think he's just got to get out of town. He's got to.
He
find
just needs more
else.
Monocles. He needs more monocles. But you trade Michael Bennett because you already invested so much in trading to get Sheldon Richardson, and then Sheldon Richardson leaves town. You're shopping Earl Thomas. Richard Sherman's gone. Everything about their offseason has just been bad, and they still don't have an offensive line. So there's that too.
I think Thomas Rawls went somewhere else too. So there's a run game. Gone. He's visiting with the Chiefs right now. What's up,
Chris Perfett? Big Thomas Rawls guy.
Yeah, I do like Thomas Rawls, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know what else they have for the running backs right now. So,
my Russell Wilson is their running back.
Yeah, Russell Wilson exactly.
So,
well, let's also talk about the Bears and the Packers. Then,
can I quick make a Fortnite reference that I wanted to make?
Sure, go ahead.
Yay!
If the Seattle Seahawks were a location on Battle Royale, they'd be Loot Lake because they have just been looted. Left and right.
And because you never want to land there.
Well, looking around the rest of the NFC North, so I think that pretty much wraps up the Vikings.
Yeah, well, the Vikings literally only have two signings, Kirk Cousins and Sheldon Richardson. That's it.
That's all they really had the time for.
But they're both, and it's funny because the perception is like, wow, they've killed it in free agency. It's two guys. One guy is a guy they gave guaranteed money to. The other is a guy on a one-year deal that's over 30.
Yeah.
Meh.
But I mean, they didn't really need to do too much other than just, again, we'll just have to see what Kirk Cousins does. Right. Meanwhile, the Packers added Jimmy Graham, and I know everyone was thinking that the Lions would get that after Eric Ebron, and nope, going to the Packers.
Yeah, so. I'm not entirely scared of that move. It's better. I think a lot of people instinctively compare it to the Martellus Bennett signing from last year where everyone got all hyped up. It's better than that signing, but
it's better than that signing because this year Aaron Rodgers probably isn't going to get hurt.
That's also true.
That's what it comes down to.
But I mean, they've also, for as much as we heard like, oh, new GM, they're going to be so active during free agency. Like, meh, not really. They pick up Jimmy Graham, they drop Jordy Nelson, and what else have they done?
They picked up Muhammad Wilkerson. I think they grabbed him on a one.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that was a good move. That was a good move on the Packers' part.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to talk about the Kyle Fuller thing, which I think is pretty interesting. So the Bears put the transition tag on Kyle Fuller, which is basically a small deal, but any team can negotiate a term with them, any terms they want. And if they give him a deal, then the Bears have to match it exactly or give him up. And that a lot of teams, it's a risky move to make because teams can format the deal in a sort of way that makes it very hard for the original team to accept that deal. But the Bears accepted it in a second. And now Kyle Fuller is getting paid more than Darius Slay is.
Nice. They've also picked up a couple other pieces, mostly in the receiving ends. So, I mean, we'll have to see what that does with with Rob Zagelinski's outlook on everyone's favorite quarterback, whose name suddenly I just forgot because I am a creature who does
Mitchell.
Not have Mitch Trubisky, thank you. They picked up Allen Robinson, A-Rob, who I have always liked. They picked up on tight end Trey Burton, and they also, I think they grabbed another wide receiver, Taylor Gabriel, I think was the name.
Yep.
So they're definitely trying to build. I mean, we knew they were going to try to build around Mitch, but they are now putting in the work for trying to build around Mitch. But I think they will be legitimate.
They're going to be better.
They're definitely going to be better. I don't think they're going to win the NFC North, but I think of a question of a wild card. They're going to be up there against the Lions for it.
Ooh, I'm not there yet. I think they're still a little year or two away. But Allen Robinson, I think, is one of the biggest signings in the NFC North, to be honest. That's a great fit for Chicago. He's very good. If he can stay healthy, this is a top 10 wide receiver in the league. And you don't really want that in the NFC North. But, hey, we got Darius Slay, and he's not getting paid as much as Kyle Fuller. So,
yep, pretty much. Final notes from you, Ryan. You've been kind of quiet there, and I know you've started up another game of Fortnite, so
no, talk. I haven't. I'm being a good participant. I think objectively speaking, and I don't know if anybody is willing to take umbrage with this. I'm sure somebody will, but I think that objectively speaking, the Lions have had the worst free agency of any team in the NFC North.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. It's kind of hard to see. It's kind of hard to see otherwise, really, at this point.
It's too early, though.
I'm willing to
give out grades.
Is it too early?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because they didn't make one of these big splash signings where they're giving centers it's $12 million a year.
No,
they're not good.
That's no. I don't think that's it. I don't think it's that they didn't make any splash signings. It's that they just still have not addressed the biggest need on the team, and it's defensive line. And it feels. Will they win?
And they've created another need now.
I will guarantee you right now that the Lions sign another tight end, that they sign another offensive lineman, that they sign a defensive tackle. I guarantee you that happens before the draft.
Okay, and is it going to be anybody that's going to move the needle?
I don't know. It's going to be someone that Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia are comfortable with.
Okay, all right. Well, you know what? Here's the thing, though, is that we talked about at the very beginning of the segment, even you said it yourself, Bob Quinn's hit on a couple of splashy things. He's hit on Marvin Jones during his first free agency period. He hit on, Rick Wagner and TJ Lang during the second one. Where has he kind of, spun the tires a little bit on these depth signings? Okay. And I understand that, but I understand that they're all not going to hit. Cause if he was, then he'd be a genius. I trust him, but at the same time, it's like, if they're going to go out and get their quote unquote, their guys, a bummer. It's just a bummer so far. Like, if I had one word to describe this offseason so far, it's bummer.
Say the Lions go out, they get Jack Muhort, they get Luke Wilson,
Jonathan Hankins.
They get Jonathan Hankins. They get those three guys. Suddenly, this is a good offseason, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would be happier with it. I would move off of my stance that they've had the worst offseason of any team in the NFC North. I'd put them above the Packers, probably.
It'd be a solid BB plus signing. And I'm not saying all those things are going to happen. They almost certainly won't. But my point is just there's a lot of free agency to be had. We're seeing teams continue to drop players because they're getting guaranteed money, 6 days into the new year. So they're getting cut on the fifth day, so they don't get that guaranteed money. That's part of the dirty workings of the NFL. And you might see more players get dropped. You might see more players get traded.
All right, we're way overdue to get to the mailbag. So I just want to make one last note. I have saved the sound from Jeremy promising that they would draft these things. We'll see. All right, mailbag coming up next. Mail time, hashtag AskPOD, as always, to get your stuff in. Jeremy, do we have any new reviews?
Yeah, we still got a little backlog going, so let's get to it. Our first review comes from True Believer in all caps. He gives us 4 stars. It says, review time. Been away from the pod for a little while, gents. Catching up on them now and heard you guys going on about the lack of reviews. Enjoy this podcast and love the content. Good flow and go Lions.
Okay, that's solid.
All right, and this next one's a little lengthy, so forgive me if this takes a little bit. It's from Lions fan in Chicago. Also gives 4 stars, says, but wait, there's more. The most eclectic and original of the strong and entertaining group of Lions podcasts for the fans everywhere, but similar to the internet as a whole trend to follow their own verbal clickbait and burrow down on subjects not at all related to the Detroit Lions or football at all, which also gives them their collective charm. Where else can you listen to a heated discussion on franchising Ziggy Ansah, but also wander into comments about the Wizinator and John Cena's man titties? Nowhere else but on the podcast. This past season, they've been more on track with discussing Lions news and hot takes before changing direction to list cast of various subjects, but at least they are warning us beforehand to allow listeners the option to stick with it. Of the 3 Lions podcasts I listen to regularly, and then he lists a couple of the other ones that I'm not going to mention, they come in and
there are no others.
They come in an extremely strong third.
Oh, fuck that. No. Cut this guy. Cut his mic.
Oh, don't worry. We're only about halfway there. I am sure they could shoot to the top with one little tweak that could double, nigh triple their listenership, add timestamps to the podcast summary. Want to jump right to that week's list cast? By all means, go to 4831 of the pod and listen to it there. Shooing.
Sorry to jump in again, but like here's why we can't do that, because of how we serve our ads in this thing. We'd love to do that. I think originally when we started out, we did do that, but it's really hard to do that because how it adds the minutes dynamically changes, like depending on when you listen to it or where an ad does or does not get served, it completely changes the timestamp. That's why I can't do it.
There you go. Let me just run through this last couple sentences. Want to focus on WWF talk? Well, not really, but if the price we have to pay please let us know where it is for if our time is limited. Whatever. If you consider this an adequate request, hope you will too. Live in Chicago and love to mention hashtag we own the Bears to all the locals. Longtime listener, first time reviewer. Looking forward to more pods in the future. Oops, almost forgot. Tater tots are great in concept after you've not had them for a long time than you do. And remember, fries are better, except maybe what? Burger King hash brown chips.
Okay, can we cut this is getting really meandering. Let's cut this off. We've got questions to get to. I'm sorry. All
right, let's do it.
My patience is worn thin. All right. Well, again, we're kind of running into the problem where people ask us Lions questions, which admittedly, that's what we're supposed to do, because as we said, we're a Lions podcast. The problem is we always kind of drain ourselves of it because we just talk like nearly an hour on those other things. So, I mean, we've got some legitimate questions, legitimate concerns, but I'm just not sure. Do you guys want to read that, or would you rather take a question out of left field to start?
Let's switch it up, and we can focus back on some of the more free agency stuff that we may have already covered, but let's throw an oddball out there first.
Okay, let's take one from Ryan Collins, Shafty Von Hack. Say you found a and this still has a Lions tie in. Hey, say you found a briefcase in a dumpster in downtown Detroit that had a strip of tape that said Ebron money. What would you use that money for?
What? Sign a defensive tackle.
I'm assuming he means like what, 8.5 million with that. I'm paying off my loans and I'm going somewhere that's making that selfish. Money last. Yeah. You know what? That's fine.
I'm building property in downtown Detroit and starting a POD headquarters where we have a fully paid staff, full-time staff.
Okay. A whole bunch so of Jeremy stuff. Can sleep in.
So I can sleep in. Past 6 a.m. Pacific.
To be honest, though, if I'm getting all that money, I'm buying a Wingstop, and then I never have to pay for it ever again.
Okay. Gary Luke at Zug Ireland. In honor of Rusev Day, which Lions player should have a day named after him, and why is it Matt Prater? I'm a big fan of Muleback Day.
You stole the words out of my mouth.
What were you going to phrase it? How you were going to say before? I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut off. It's just, we don't have cameras anymore. So
no, you're fine. I was going to do hashtag wrestling talk, but we do that on a different podcast now. So
that one slipped by me completely. I did not realize whoever Rusev is was a person in wrestling.
Rusev Day.
That one could have just slid completely under the radar, but you ruined it.
Yeah. Well,
I blew it.
I keep waiting several times when that starts to happen, why Jeremy doesn't ask, what are you guys talking about? Jeremy's just one of those guys who will just smile and nod until someone fills him in.
Yeah. Let you guys have. I don't want to ruin your guys' fun. You guys can have your podcast, but can we just have like a butt flip day? I want a butt flip day.
You've ruined it. N.E. Shaw asking us, if Scrooge McDuck would have died by diving into his pool of money, what could he have kept in his indoor swimming pool that wasn't money or water? Okay, this is a little. I think this is the assumption that's like you can't really die. Like, you know, Scrooge McDuck, he dives into the money, swims around. Like, yeah, you can do that because it's a cartoon. Otherwise, like some people have tried to do. Yeah, the Family Guy thing. You would know that, Jeremy. You used to do Family Guy.
Yeah, whatever.
What else are you putting in a pool?
Something that's valuable that you can not die in? Is that the question?
I think the idea is like you're going to dive into it. You're going to swim around in it, but it also can't be water.
Jell-O.
I have an answer. Jell-O? That's terrifying.
Yeah. No, that feels like a guitar. That sounds like a slurry pit. You're just going to die in it.
Pudding? Is that better?
That's still too thick. You won't be able to float in that stuff. You're gonna die.
You're going to die. I'm so hungry right now. So the only thing I want is to jump into a pool of flats that are covered in lemon pepper. Death by Lemon Pepper.
That's too hard too, though.
No, not if you open up your mouth.
Dang it. Jesus Christ. I don't really have an answer for this. I guess maybe it's too easy to say beer, right? Or like any other kind of alcohol.
Strawberry lemonade.
Mm. You're going to be sticky and smell.
Yeah, that's true. Same with beer.
Unless we pick, you have to pick something like obvious, like laundry detergent. Okay, yeah. Tide Pods.
Full of Tide Pods. Okay. Let's see here. I've got a few questions from a guy here called Sebastian Enke, who I think is new to the questioning. He's got some Lions questions. I'm going to take his one. He says that he lives in Berlin. Would you recommend to visit? He says, as I live in Berlin, would you recommend to visit Detroit and why? If you only get to visit one city in America, I would not say go to Detroit.
But if you're a Lions fan.
Sure. Okay. If you're a Lions fan, then what after that?
So just go to Detroit, visit the Eastern Market. It's coming up. I think there's something exciting about a town, a city that is becoming rejuvenated. Detroit is on its way up, and I'm excited about it. And
I'm just saying, if I get one shot in America, I'm probably not going to go to Detroit. There's some other cities I'd rather see first.
Well, this guy isn't dying. This isn't his last wish.
No, I don't think he is.
I'm sorry if you are, by the way.
I'm trying to be reasonable to his economics. It can be expensive to travel.
Sure.
Ryan?
If that's the case, like if it's like a last wish type thing, I mean, just go wherever John Cena is. He's really good at granting wishes.
How's he supposed to find him though?
He gets the stuff. He knows what he's talking about.
He just doesn't want to play nice.
He doesn't. No, not at all. All right. Next question here. And we're kind of sliding back into the Lion stuff. T-Trom 19. Why did Whitehead leave?
I don't think
they got Devin Kennard.
Yeah. And I don't think he fit what the Lions wanted to do with the position. He's not much of a, he's not really an edge guy that can run defend. He can run defend, but he's not a guy that really can put his hand in there. He's not big enough. That's one thing that I think we didn't really talk about is their linebackers are a lot bigger now. And yeah. Tahir isn't that guy. And if you're smaller on the smaller end, like Tahir had is, you need to come with some coverage abilities, and Tahir does not have those.
All right. Next question here from Brian Schwartz. Do you feel Quinn was authentic in saying the season was more of a coaching issue than talent with the free agent market?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's a bold thing to say when the coaches just left the door. I mean, basically called out Caldwell saying like, yeah, we should have been 9-7. And I think that's a very honest thing to say. I don't know if I 100% agree with him, but I think he expects more out of his coaches than he got out of Jim Caldwell, and I can understand that.
Okay, but if he doesn't believe in him, then why'd he give him another year in the first place? Yeah. Like, come on. This is just basically, it's like, oh shit, I gave this guy a whatever. Joshua Malama. Why does Detroit Online, Jeremy Reisman, it's okay, let me just read this without using the Twitter hashtags. Why does Jeremy Reisman love trolling the Lions fans?
What?
Because it's too easy.
I definitely love trolling the Pride of Detroit staff. What am I trolling Lions fans?
I don't know.
Wait, hold on. So you're saying I'm not a Lions fan then?
Well, at least right. Half of the Bills people fans in this podcast that aren't me, at least, aren't Lions fans.
Trying to do the math there.
I disagree with that. Chris has a mug that says he's the number one Detroit Lions fan. So.
No, I have a flask that says that.
Yeah, that's right.
Can't even remember the own gifts you gave to him.
I'm a little busy playing Fortnite at the moment. So
I knew it. Okay, Paul Kurian, two questions. Favorite historic sports upset? Jeremy, how many times have you watched the end of the Michigan-Houston basketball game? Let's start with the latter one first, because at least Jeremy can get that out of the way.
It's got to be close to 50 already, and we're not even 24 hours after the fact.
I want to talk about, I mean, I don't watch a lot of Michigan basketball, but I want to talk about Jordan Poole's shot, because there's only two fates in his world when he takes that shot, right? Because you know by now, Jeremy, that is not a great shot he took.
Well, like, yeah, he wasn't given much choice, but that was a contested shot. It was ridiculous.
I know, but he's like doing the splits as he jumps, and he's shooting it from damn near the parking lot. I'm just saying, either that thing goes in and he becomes like the legend of all legends for y'all, or he misses it and his life is just, it's that Patrick Ewing sound being put on repeat for his entire life. You know what I'm talking about? Step back one-legged. What kind of shot is that? Have you ever shot that shot before? Do you practice that shot? When?
But if Michigan loses, if he missed that shot and Michigan loses, we're talking about the missed layup in the possession before that would have tied the game.
Well, we're also talking about Hughes. I mean, granted, but I mean, we're also talking about this today because Houston apparently forgot how to shoot free throws as well.
That is also true. But yeah, it's interesting. SB Nation put out an article today showing that Jordan Poole made an almost identical buzzer beating shot with that whole like jumping cross legged thing. Exactly the same from the same point in the court back in high school.
Okay, so he has shot that shot before.
Yes, that's his shot, apparently. That's his comfort zone. But yeah, I've watched it about 50 times. My favorite is watching the couple videos that I've seen from Skeeps in Ann Arbor, the Ann Arbor bar. They went nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Corekeepers.
But let's get to his other part of the question here on favorite sports upset, because also been happening this week, we finally saw, and I think I've seen people say this, and we'll have to see this, like this was probably the most... I don't think anyone expected a 16 upsetting a one when University of Maryland, Baltimore County took down Virginia. No one like that was one of those things that you were told is never, you're never going to see happen in your life. And we've seen a lot of crazy shit in the last few years. Like the Cubs finally won a World Series, but I think that's even more likely than a 16 beating a one.
Yeah. It's, I mean, definitely historic moment. I want to real quickly point out that that shot by Poole isn't even the best shot that a Michigan player has hit in the past 5 years, because that belongs to Trey Burke and probably forever always will.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a shot from the parking lot? He was 9 feet behind the 3-point line, and he not only pulled up and shot it, but his giant nuts were hanging out of the bottom of his shorts too. Are you kidding me? No, that was one of the biggest shots. They upset a one seed. That was huge.
Those nuts were keeping him well grounded, or else he would have ascended to heaven.
Yeah, but essentially yes. But yeah, that was a huge shot. Nothing. And also, if we're talking about sports upsets, we've talked about this, but nothing ever will ever trump Miracle on Ice.
I don't know, man. Like I think the thing is, like, at least there wasn't a lot of, the thing is like, I think a 16 upsetting a one was more improbable than Miracle on Ice. It's just that the way they beat Virginia didn't really leave a lot of drama. It led a lot of schadenfreude against Virginia, because that's how you beat Virginia. You get them down and then they're just lazy on offense, because they don't know how to go faster than scoring like what, 40 points a game or some bullshit like that. But just the odds stacked there, I would say, is more improbable than Miracle was.
No way.
We haven't gotten off the glow yet, though, of 16 defeating a one. Again, like, that's one of those things, like, I don't think you would ever expect to see happen. And this has a lot of immediacy that we're not dealing with. Like, Miracle at this point has been enshrined. And I think sports media, at least back then, was a lot better at enshrining those moments into a cultural thing. Whereas, like, today, like, yeah, we had to roll over the UMBC news, like, instantly, because the rest of the tournament's going on.
It essentially got buried by the Michigan three-pointer.
Yeah, and everything else. Like, we don't really have, we don't really have the press anymore to really do it justice to what it is. But I, if, putting it up there with Miracle.
If UMBC makes a run, and by the time you're listening to this, you'll know whether they're into the Sweet 16 or not. But if they make a run, then I would say the attention's going to stay on that and could potentially put it up there with Miracle. But I think I'm with Ryan right now.
I guess. I don't know. I watch a lot of tournaments, so I was just stunned to finally see it happen. Like, I don't know. We've checked off all the boxes now, except for like a Lions Super Bowl, really. So, but
I mean, I don't even think it's as impressive as the Denver Nuggets beating the Seattle Supersonics. That was a series, an 8 beating a 1. When has that ever happened in the NBA? Can you imagine that happening this year? Could you imagine telling me that the New Orleans Pelicans are going to knock off the Golden State Warriors? That'd be way more impressive.
There's just not a lot of, I mean, granted right now I could potentially see the Heat maybe like screwing up the Raptors or something. Maybe. I don't know. It would have to come from the East, and it would have to come from the East without LeBron James in that one seed.
Yeah, well, that would admittedly be like much less impressive.
Yeah, true, but I swear.
The Warriors, I mean, it's the idea of like a super team. Like, I don't think it's like all that crazy that like these are like college kids playing college kids.
Mm.
It's not like a bunch of college kids playing Soviet professionals that destroyed the NHL All-Stars.
Well, granted, that was also back in a time when the NHL All-Stars just meant Canadians. And Canadians don't really know how to play hockey. They just fight.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Gretzky, Crosby, Lemieux.
All Canadians. What's your point? I see your genetics at work
all
here.
All those guys are huge fighters.
Yeah, where? Actually, my favorite is, and hold on. I need to get to my favorite, and then we got to get another question. But we haven't even talked about this one. But again, I'm a baseball guy. I mean, God, I've got to go with you talk about stacked teams there and everything. And I've come to loathe this team, as with all things Boston, but the reverse sweep in 2004 ALCS.
I put it up there, but Bill Simmons has not stopped talking about it.
Yeah, I know. No, I know. I'm just saying, take the Boston fans out of the equation. That's remarkable. A reverse sweep in baseball. Like, we've seen reverse sweeps all the time in like the NHL, but baseball, it's like, nah. Ryan, you're the NBA guy. Has reverse sweeps happened in NBA playoffs yet?
I mean, can you get any closer than when the Warriors blew a 3-1?
That's true. I mean, that was a pretty damn good upset now that you look at the juggernaut the Warriors are, but yeah.
That should forever be the first feather in anybody's cap that they put into LeBron James when you're determining his legacy at the end of the day.
It came back from a 3-1 deficit in the NBA Finals. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Against a team like that. Let's see here. Get back to the Lions questions. Cole, with Ebron gone and Tate hitting free agency next year, I'm a little concerned about our depth at wide receiver tight end. What do you think is a long-term plan for pass-catching weapons for Stafford? Any worthy RWRs out there in the middle rounds of the draft that might get a look?
That's a good question. I've seen a lot of people kind of postulate that maybe the Lions are saving this cap room for a possible extension with Golden Tate. I don't see it that way, but it's an interesting hypothesis. What I think is good draft etiquette, maybe etiquette's not the word, but what I think a team should do in every draft essentially is at some point draft a wide receiver, and you can go pretty deep in every year's draft and get a wide receiver that could play some sort of a role, because at this point the Lions are maybe looking for a third receiver, maybe looking for a guy who's going to be like a Golden Tate next year, and I think you can find that kind of very specific role. Obviously maybe not as good as Tate. This is I think we all underrate Tate a little bit just in how good he is at what he does. But that being said, I think you can find a similar talent in the third to fifth rounds in every year's draft. So I'm not that concerned about it at this point, but it's definitely something that the Lions need to look at this year.
Anything there, Ryan? Are you good? You good playing Fortnite?
I'm in Tomato Town right now.
You want to talk about TJ Jones?
No.
Let's get one more question here. Poop dong can I? Oh, okay, let me try this. Just at Game of Dabs.
Poop dong a con
su. Poop dong a con su. Yeah. How hard do we hit Le and in parentheses Garrett Blunt? I think we had another joke like this here too. Let me find it. Who else was making marijuana references to LeGarrette Blunt's name? It doesn't matter. I get it. Weed. Thank you for listening to the Pride Detroit POD cast. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. Our main theme was produced by Ryan Shepherd. You can find him on Twitter and on SoundCloud at I am Brian Shepherd, IamBrianSheppard. Thanks a lot to him. Check out his stuff. He's been great. He gave us Victory Monday, so go check him out. That's I am Brian Shepherd. And thank you for everyone who keeps listening and makes us one of the greatest Lions podcasts possible. Y'all are awesome. See you, Starside.